We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
How few of the human race have ever had an opportunity of choosing a system of government for themselves?
They're acting like they're bigger than government.
Mark Reardon.
Pay attention to science, 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 and science.
Whoa, whoa, slow down. I'm a scientist and that was still fast.
The Mark Reardon Show is on now.
All right, good afternoon. Another beautiful day. I call these like 10% days. I know Dave Murray has something similar, right? I feel like there are only about 10% of the days in the entire year, which is, you know, in the mid-30s there for your number of days that are this nice. And it was a great day to be at Busch Stadium. I went over there. You know, today was... I was crashing KMOX Day at the ballpark.
How'd it go?
Well, it was good. I've been a part of that particular station, of course, for 15 years, and it's always a great event. We need to do 97-1 Day at the ballpark. Hey, Dave, by the way, you know who threw out the first pitch?
I saw it was our fearless leader.
Our fearless leader, Steve Moore.
Yeah.
But he wimped out. Did you notice?
He
didn't go to the mound. He did not go to the mound. Now, when I did about 5 years ago, and I was scared to death, by the way.
Well,
and everyone
yeah.
down there was rooting against me. They wanted, you know, a viral moment, and I get that. But people told me at the time, they're like, look, don't go out to the mound. Don't go out to the mound. Just do it from the – because a little elevation maybe throws you off. That's how people hit the dirt. So before I went out there – there was a kid, I don't know, maybe 12 or 13 years old. Kid goes out to the mound, smokes a fastball in there. I'm like, I got to go out to the mound. So I didn't have the greatest pitch in the history of first pitches, but it certainly wasn't
a
disaster.
Did it make it over around the plate?
I lobbed it in there.
Okay, that counts.
You'd rather go high than bounce it.
Yes.
Exactly.
I will never be invited to do that, so I enjoy watching everyone else.
The worst part was when you go, I mean, everyone's kind of hassling you and they're rooting for you to do poorly. And I made the mistake. Well, that's
do they really?
My bosses. I'm talking about the people who are with me. I'm not saying
I couldn't take that.
In general, people would be encouraged to do a good job. For me, they were hoping for failure. You know how that works, right?
You want the video.
Well, sure. That's what I mean. But here's the one mistake that I made. Well, amongst many, when I went to the mound, I looked at the big TV and I saw my big noggin on there, and that was like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. But I did okay. I got out of it. It was one of the more stressful things that I've
totally
had to go
through.
No, I totally
get that. That would
freak
me out.
It's a lot of pressure. And, you know, you do it before really anyone's in the stadium, but still, it made me nervous.
Especially these days.
Hey, thanks for your support, Dave. By the way, the Cardinals are winning. It is the top of the ninth. There are two outs. But it's Gallegos on the mound, so there's a really good chance that they're going to blow the game
here.
He's actually up on the count, two strikes, so it's 1-2 right now. We have a big afternoon, and I'm very curious to see what the president is going to announce at 4 o'clock this afternoon. There's been a little bit of a buildup today, and here's what we know right now is that the Biden administration is going to announce sweeping new vaccine mandates that will impact tens of millions of people, including you. And this is where I have some questions about this, because we don't know about the legalities. But basically what they're saying right now is these are the words being used, pushing all businesses with more than 100 employees to require their workforces to be inoculated or face weekly testing. Well, pushing, what does pushing mean? The president plans to sign an executive order that would require all federal employees to get vaccinated against the coronavirus. Well, that makes sense because of... federal workers. I'm not saying that this is something that everyone's going to be thrilled about. But how can he do it with private companies? Let me see if I can find something out here.
I don't get that at all.
By the way, the federal mandate does not give an option for those who would rather be regularly tested. He's also going to require that all the health facilities that accept Medicare or Medicaid to vaccinate their workforces. That's going to impact about 50,000 locations. But I'm kind of hung up on this whole thing with the private employers, right?
Right. How can he force private employers
Here's what the Washington Post says, all right? They released an 11-page memo called Path Out of the Pandemic, and it outlined key areas where the president is shifting or hardening his strategy. We're going to find out more about this at 4 o'clock. We'll air that live, by the way, when he starts. This is one, you know, oftentimes we say, and on Afghanistan, we weren't sure, and there was a big delay. I have this feeling that this one's going to be on time, which means I'm probably going to be wrong.
What makes you say that? You just have the feeling?
Yeah, not only that, just because I think this is a little bit of a different circumstance where things aren't developing throughout the course of the day.
Yeah,
they're
we
not
all
trying
know.
To figure out the answers.
Yeah.
And they all already released this
what
to the media.
Gonna say.
Right, this is what they do. So the regulation that I'm talking about is to be written by the Labor Department that will require all businesses with more than 100 employees. So small businesses don't have to do this, but you know, medium-sized businesses, large businesses would either have to mandate vaccinations for all their workers or require them to take the weekly coronavirus tests. The White House estimates the policy will impact about 80 million workers. How in the world can you enforce this? If you ignore the policy, it could trigger penalties of up to $14,000 per violation, according to a senior Biden administration official who briefed reporters. Businesses will also be required to give workers paid time off to get vaccinated, according to the new rules. This plan will ensure that we are using every available tool to combat COVID-19 and save even more lives. So I don't know what the reaction is going to be to employers. Now, in fairness, you have a fair amount of employers that are doing this anyway, requiring their employees to be vaccinated.
But it's their choice.
Right. A federal mandate coming down on employers of more than one, that does not sit very easy with
no.
me. I mean, look, I want to do things to help the pandemic, but how in the world can you even begin
you
to enforce that?
It's just like the county. And the thing is, what is every instance? Does that mean every employee?
Yeah,
that you
I think that what they're saying is if you have a record of someone that is not vaccinated, if you can't prove that, now this sets up source. What are you going to have federal audits
right.
to make sure that people are vaccinated?
We can't afford that.
Maybe that is what they do, but that is just crazy. I don't
know.
Do
you think that he will mention that today, or this is just a rolling out of?
Oh no. I think he's going to. Hopefully, you know. Here's what I'm interested in because I'd love that question to be answered.
Exactly.
About the mandates and how you can enforce this. By the way, this made me think of something else, separate but related, because the one thing that I've been very consistent on over the years is I hate the nanny state. All right, let me give you an example of the nanny state. Illinois is the nanny state.
For sure.
Illinois. Now, bear with me. I think people that listen to 97.1 are going to appreciate this, but a lot of the other people out there don't have to, or they don't have an appreciation for the nuance. So look, I think you should be safe when you're driving your car, not use your cell phone, all those things. I don't think it's necessary that we have a law that allows the cops to pull people over because they see them with their cell phone in their hand or whatever the case may be, like they do in Illinois, which is utterly ridiculous because is it really making a difference? It is not. You know, people are still using their phones. It gives the cops an excuse to pull someone over. And by the way, I don't even think the cops are doing that, really. So I don't like the nanny state. Now, some people might say, well, they require you to wear your seatbelts. That's fine. But I think we have enough laws on the books right now to cover everything we do. In fact, I'm in favor of repealing laws. Let's go back in the other direction, right? Because we have so many damn laws. This is a story. Klein, did you see this that I tweeted out about California and the condoms?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Okay.
I had to click on it.
Do you still have that dramatic music in from yesterday? Because I could use that.
You want me to pull it up?
Yeah, would you do that? Because I think I'm going to need music for this. So let me wait for Dave to pull the music up because I don't think that this story is going to be quite as effective.
Did this come out today, Mark?
Well, this was a story that came out today. Okay. But this is about California. It's a story that's in the Washington Post. And you tell me if this is something, again, it's California. They're going to talk about crazy. This is the state that in San Francisco, they're paying people to not shoot other people. And now New York has that same plan. They're going to pay young people to not be criminals. This is in any other circumstance in an earlier time, you would think that I'm making this up.
Yes.
Right? I'm not making it up. Sue, the sex seemed normal until it was over. This is, I like this day. This is working for me. And Rebecca discovered her boyfriend had secretly removed his condom. New fears sprang up to torment the college freshman, according to a 2017 journal article documenting her account. What if she became pregnant? Did he have any sexually transmitted diseases? How had a trusted person violated her like this? So they go on and they talk about how Rebecca was working at a rape crisis hotline, and it goes on and on and on about the dangers, I guess, of potentially removing the condom. But there is a law now, which, by the way, I think that's problematic. If someone goes in there, deceives someone, they're having sex, and it's protected sex, and all of a sudden they secretly... I don't know what that means, by the way.
I'm not sure.
What do you do when you secretly remove the condom?
I'm trying to understand that.
But here's the key part. New legislation in California, because you always need legislation...
Oh, yeah.
...would make... You know what they call it? Dave, do you know what they call it?
No.
There's a phrase for this. Stealthing.
Stealthing.
State lawmakers sent a bill to soon-to-be former Governor Gavin Newsom. Now, he's going to win that thing. You know how I know he's going to win that thing? Because Kamala Harris was there today. And there's no way they would have put Kamala Harris out there if he was going to lose this, because she looks bad enough. So the bill would add such behavior to the state's civil definition of sexual battery. If Newsom signs the bill, introduced by Democrat Assemblywoman Christina Garcia, the new law would allow victims to sue perpetrators for damages, but would not make it a crime that could result in jail time. And this would be the first state to explicitly address non-consensual condom removal. But again, how do you enforce such? Do you have video that shows that someone stealthily removed the condom when they're having sex?
And how would you prove? None of it is sensible.
Okay, but listen to some of the—this is, maybe I'm just old and too old. A paper published in 2019 found that 12% of women ages 21 to 30 reported that they had been the victims of stealthing. 10% of men in that same age group reported that they had secretly removed a condom during sex, an average of 3.62 times since they were 14. How about that little nugget, right? How do they come up with that? So guys are saying, yeah, I've removed a condom since I was 14, so they've done it on average of 3.5 times. A more recent study found that as many as 1/3 of sexually active respondents had a partner take off a condom without their consent. So she's been trying to pass this for years.
This is a bizarre story.
It's really bizarre. And who are these people that... do this? Do these people not know these people that they're getting together with? I mean, none of this makes sense to me.
Well, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me either. And the woman who Garcia, the lawmaker, says that she has talked to all these victims, and the survivors experience this as disempowering, demeaning, all of these things, which they also describe it as rape adjacent. I don't know. I think that it's one of those things where the law probably shouldn't veer into. That's the way it seems to me. How do you even... I know that it's not a criminal violation, which is a little different, but I would put even the abortion situation in Texas in a similar vein, because it's a piece of legislation that doesn't really outlaw abortion specifically, because it allows abortion to happen. However, if it happens, it empowers people to sue. And in this particular situation, you could have... I can see all kinds of problematic scenarios with something like this.
Maybe that's what it is. It empowers you to sue.
Well, that's what it does, yeah. So this doesn't... It doesn't criminalize the removing of the condom stealthily.
Right, I heard
it
that.
It allows the girl, the woman, or I guess a man too, and right, or I'm not going to go down the AOC path there, to... sue if that happens. But my point is, even in a situation like that, how do you... It's hard enough to prove rape.
That's what, right? I mean.
It's hard enough to prove sexual abuse or sexual assault. You throw that into the mix, and they spent years and months, and they send a bill. It's virtue signaling. I mean, I think she wants to genuinely help people who have been quote-unquote victims here. But wow, that just seemed, jumped out at me as something that, of course, will be emulated in Illinois and in New York and Michigan. You'll have the blue states that are going to make sure that they're all on board for something like this. Okay, well, we have the president coming up a little bit later this afternoon, and he's going to give this speech. Apparently, it's going to outline all these COVID restrictions for businesses in particular. If you're a business with more than 100 employees, the president and his administration are going to require that your workers are vaccinated or tested weekly, and if they're not, you can be fined $14,000 per incident. At least that's what we know at this point. We'll have that speech at the top of the hour. Also this afternoon, Dave, you sent this story to me last night. There was a story from the local paper, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, which talked about, the headline was, here, if I pull it up here, businesses consider ditching downtown St. Louis amid gunfire and violence, which is really not a huge surprise. Quoted in that story, Jack Coder, who's an alderman for right here where we're sitting downtown at Park Pacific, and he's a regular on the Reardon Roundtable. He'll join us here in a couple of minutes. Also, Shannon Robinson put this on my radar yesterday. Amanda Wolholtz is going to join us at 3:45. So she owns Ray's Cafe in Blue Springs, Missouri, outside of Kansas City, the other side of the state. They have a mask order. And in fact, I should mention this too. We might have a mask order in St. Louis County by the end of today or by the weekend, because this whole issue now is before the judge again. And even though the attorney general and those people trying to fight, you know, Chief Fitch and everybody won that suit, the judge now is considering whether the vote that took place in the county council that indicated that the majority of members supported the mask mandate could now put the mask mandate back into effect. Did that make any sense
whatsoever?
Zero sense. Okay. The bottom line is a judge could potentially reinstate the mask mandate for St. Louis County.
After just saying that it was unenforceable and they shouldn't, and they couldn't do it?
Because the circumstances changed, because the majority of the council now has voted to say that they approve of a mask mandate. It's all very confusing. But I bring it up because in Kansas City, in Jackson County, same thing. They have a mask mandate. Well, Amanda owns this cafe, and they put up a sign. They've declared themselves a private club. They put up a sign saying no masks, and they're charging customers $1 to join the private club. So they've maybe done a little workaround there, and she'll give us the details.
Nice.
We've got the president and the speech coming up at 4 o'clock. I hope to squeeze in some more things in the 4 o'clock hour, including Sue's News, but we're going to be a little dependent on what happens there. And I'm really excited about this because he was great a couple of weeks ago. Dr. Buzz Hollander, who's in Hawaii, and I have a lot of envy just because he's in Hawaii, but he's a family practice physician who's written a couple of columns now that have really been on point. And one of them that I found yesterday was on ivermectin, which is controversial. And you know that Rogan took this thing. And here, I have a bite from Rogan here today on this. Here's what he says.
Try to make it seem as if, like, I'm doing some wacky that's completely ineffective. I literally got it from a doctor.
Yeah, so that's the thing. There's a difference between the horse dewormer that you would buy at the, the farm store and the one that's prescribed by the doctor, but most in the media don't want to make that distinction. Dr. Hollander does. He's going to join us at 5:07. Chris Wallace, after that, his new 9/11 book and an audio cut of the day on 97.1.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right. President Biden at 4 o'clock to tell businesses of more than 100 employees that they're going to have to require vaccinations. We're going to get some details on that. Hopefully some questions answered in the 4 o'clock hour. We want to fit in Sue's news. Sue, we'll have to see if the president is...
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, if he's cooperating. He has to know about Sue's news, though. I mean, the staff had to have told him, right?
The nerve if he didn't.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. Alderman Jack Coder is with us this afternoon. There was a story that was shared by many people to me last night after I get home that cleared the St. Louis Post-Dispatch late in the day about how there are multiple large employers considering moving out of their offices downtown. Alderman Coder represents this area that we're sitting in right now. How are you, Jack?
I'm good, Mark. How are you? And how are you, Sue?
Doing great. Thanks, Jack.
Obviously, you and I have talked about this before, but now there are some more, I don't know how you would say it, because there are a couple of businesses that were victims of crime, Peabody in particular, some windows being shot out, that are bringing this to the attention of the mayor, saying, hey, we don't feel like our workforce is safe, right?
Right. No, that's exactly what's going on. And I mean, look, you can't blame that. You know, this mayor's been in office about 6 months. Some of these problems started well before her tenure, but she's got the job and she's got to help deal with them. And this is coming to a head. Downtown employers, as they're starting to really think about bringing their workforces back, are very nervous about the situation downtown.
Well, so what can be done about it? Because you're talking about these aren't just a few restaurants or, you know, some clubs on Wash Avenue, which may have their own issues. But these are big employers here downtown. I mean, these are anchor employers you can't afford to lose.
Correct. You really can't. I mean, you know, the downtown economy and frankly our region economy depend on these folks. And their employees to come to work, pay sales taxes, pay, you know, earnings taxes and everything else. So we don't want to lose them. And, you know, look, I'm not an expert in public safety. I don't claim to have all the answers. But talking to friends in law enforcement, I think the first thing we've got to do is get serious about security downtown and make sure we're putting adequate resources down there, especially at night and on the weekends, to make sure downtown's safe.
You know, Jack, in the past, I've always, you know, when I say the past, many years ago, I would defend downtown. People would say from Chesterfield Bowen, it's not safe. I'm like, come on, you got to be kidding me. Well, look, this area that we're in right now, this is your district. You some of these things that just happened. So Saturday night, it was around 10 o'clock, 700 block of Market. Do you know where that is exactly? Where's the 700 block of Market? Is that close to where I am or not?
Yes. No, it's not far from you. 700 block of Market is right by Keener Plaza.
Okay, well, so down a little bit closer to where the stadium is, but you had a bunch of kids that were running away, and then at the intersection of North 8th and Chestnuts, they find an 18-year-old kid with a gunshot wound to his leg. And then hours later, not too far away, there's another shooting that leaves three people all in their 20s hospitalized with gunshot wounds right downtown.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. This is downtown, in the middle of the downtown Central Business District. I mean, yeah, that's the kind of behavior we're talking about, and that's what led to the windows getting shot out. You know, and this is on the heels of multiple shootings at Rain Nightclub. You know, it seems like every week there's a problem there. So we've got to get a handle on this. And it requires, you know, buy-in from everybody at City Hall to make this a priority.
Well, so why can't you have, and some of the numbers, and Jane has presented some of these to me, and we've talked about them on the roundtable, some of the numbers of the amount of police that are actually patrolling the city at any given time I think would shock people. But you have, in that story that was in the Post yesterday, it said that the 4th District, which is downtown, logged 163 calls in 2019 for shootings into buildings. The next year, and that was the record-breaking for the homicide rate, 339 calls for such gunfire. So far this year, 168 such calls. So couldn't you have, I mean, wouldn't one simple plan be to have a lot more police presence down in certain parts of the area, which I will tell you from experience, I don't see that often?
No, that is, I think, what the plan has to be. I mean, there's, you know, we do have to eventually deal with some of the root causes of some of this crime. But in the short term, yes, you've got to flood it with cops, and you've got to keep, you know, the visitors and the businesses downtown safe if you want the city to succeed.
So, Jack, you're quoted in the story that was in the Post saying that you request that all the time, especially on evenings or weekends. Sometimes we get them, sometimes we don't. And the mayor's office says, well, we're working on solutions. What are those solutions? Do you know anything about those?
No, I don't know. I mean, they haven't shared those with me. I said that in the story as well. Like,
yeah.
You know, they keep saying they're working on a plan. I get it. I mean, if this was easy and there was an easy solution, I would assume someone would have implemented it by now. I mean, none of these are easy problems. But, you know, you can't just keep saying we're working on a plan. At some point, there has to be a plan, and we've got to implement it.
So how do you think, because here you have a situation where you have a mayor that's not, you know, too fond of police, we know from her past comments, and the police chief Chief Hayden is retiring. Chief Hayden was in over his head anyway. I think a lot of people could agree on that right now. I don't know why we're waiting until February. But what can we expect from an appointment of a police chief from this mayor, Jack?
You know, I have no idea. I mean, I know she's going to do a national search, and the last mayor tried to do that as well. And I think that's laudable. We should be looking, you know, for the best and brightest. The problem's going to become, you know, with the way the civil service is set up and the way the, I guess, the police commissioner job is slotted in the city civil service is the salary set. And until you raise the salary for that position, I don't know how you're going to attract the best and the brightest from outside of St. Louis.
So what are you hearing from businesses specifically? I mean, on the one hand, I think they even pointed out in the post, you know, people say these things. It's a process to actually move out. Are they threatening? Obviously, we know the concerns are real. There is crime or bullets that are heading into the building. But how real is this right now? It seems not imminent, but certainly something that if this isn't addressed is a more of a possibility that maybe it wouldn't have been in the past.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real concern. I, you know, I've spoken to some of these businesses who are talking about, you know, leaving town and leaving the city, breaking their leases and moving out to the suburbs. It's something I'm very nervous about. I'm not going to name names, of course, but it's real. And then you also have to think about the employers who are, you know, looking 2 years, trying to make decisions 2 years down the road. At are they going to renew their lease? Are they going to stay? You know, that, and many of them are really having serious doubts about whether they can stay downtown. And that makes me very nervous.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff about this that's sad and that sucks. But one of the things, and this is why I think there's an opportunity to maybe hopefully solve some of this, is that this is a great time for the city to be on the upswing in so many different categories, especially with the soccer stadium and what's going on in Cortex.
Right. I mean, we've got to, and look, there's still a lot going on. For all the problems we're talking about, I'm still bullish on downtown. We've got a lot going on. We've got a Major League Soccer stadium coming out of the ground. We've got, you know, what is a very successful second phase of Ballpark Village doing well. You know, we need the Cardinals to do better, but the property's doing all right.
Hey, they won today.
You know, good. We just announced, you know, the new restaurant moving to Wash Ave, a Cuban restaurant moving, you know, opening up their doors on Wash Ave.
Oh, I love that. What is that? That's good to hear.
I don't know what building they're in, but they're moving to like the 1100 block.
Hey, we're getting a KFC in this building. I know that. That's huge news for Odyssey St.
There
Louis,
you go.
Where the Tim Hortons used to be. So we're pretty happy about that.
So there you have it. We're making some progress.
Alderman Jack Coder, let me close with something that I'm very concerned about. And I was told that you had a little bit of a case of the shanks on the golf course last Friday. Can you confirm or deny?
I sorted those out.
Okay,
I sorted those
right.
out. Things are going fine.
All right, because I was concerned because Rainford told me that there were a few that were heading, you know, off.
It was very troubling. It was soul crushing. But I've gotten that problem resolved.
On a positive note, this is a great weekend for St. Louis. I know you're going to head out to the Ascension Charity Classic. I'm going to try to be out there on Friday, but I know you're looking forward to it. This is a great, great tournament.
I've got a ticket for you if you want to go tomorrow.
I can't. Tomorrow's like the day that I can't go. Rainford told me that, and I can't go tomorrow, but I'm going to go on Saturday.
Sorry, bud.
That's all right. All right. Enjoy. Enjoy.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, we'll get out on the course. I was supposed to play with those guys last Friday, and I ditched out only because of transportation issues. So you remember, that was the day I was going to Chicago, so I didn't want to have to go back and forth and back and forth.
Oh, sure.
I hit balls again today. Hit balls
How did
again
it
today.
Go?
It went relatively well. I'm playing tomorrow morning, so I'm back. I've taken, not that anyone cares, but I took a few months off of playing golf just because I felt like the game was just eating me up. But I'm excited about
eating
the tournament.
You up.
It just was killing me. I wasn't having fun. I mean, look, what's the point of doing it if you're not having fun? So I'm trying to have some fun again. And by the way, if President Biden cooperates, Alonzo Byrd, who is running this whole tournament at Norwood Hills, is going to join us at 4:45 with some additional details. All that, Chris Wallace in the 5 o'clock hour, 97.1 FM Talk. A little 30th special. How about that? Well, there's some pretty hardcore regulations coming down from the Biden administration on vaccinations that we'll have for you here at the top of the hour. The president expects to address the nation at 4 o'clock. We'll bring that to you live and hopefully answer some questions afterwards. So there's interesting mask information out today. Some of you probably heard about the study from India last week, which was, I think, a little mixed. But one thing that you have to take away, even for those of you who love masks and you want people to wear masks and you think masks are impenetrable, the study from India showed essentially that unless you had an N95 on, it just wasn't going to do any bit of good. And there's a new study today that essentially says the same thing, where we're wearing the wrong masks all along. I mean, this is another one of those things I told you earlier in the summer. We should have been telling people, everyone, to go outdoors. Go outdoors. Go to the beach. Remember when they're shutting down the beaches in California and elsewhere? No. Go outdoors. So we now know that the cloth masks really don't do much at all. In fact, there is a study from the NIH that was posted today that showed there is a negligible difference in people wearing masks if they're the wrong kind of mask. So I wanted to get that out there because there is a story from the other side of the state. Ray's Cafe is a restaurant in Blue Springs, Missouri, in Jackson County outside of Kansas City. And Amanda Walhitz is with me this afternoon. She has Ray's Cafe, and they've done something a little different when it comes to the mask mandate. Amanda, how are you this afternoon? Welcome to 97.1 FM Talk in St. Louis.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Obviously, Shannon Robinson put this on my radar, and I had to pursue it. So Ray's Cafe has taken a bit of a stand, haven't they?
Yes, we have.
Well, tell me what you did.
We turned into a private club on Saturday.
So what does that do for you? So now you're charging people, what, $1 to join the club, and because of that, do you have different protection when it comes to the mask mandate there?
Yes. It's $1 for a club membership, and then you're in the club.
But what is that? How does that? Is it basically a? You have to explain to me and to my audience how that makes this something that might not fall under the mask mandate, or does it? I really don't know.
By signing in, you sign in. There's a couple things you have to fill out,
right.
And you sign that you accept all responsibility. It's kind of like an enter at your own risk, and it's their choice. It's what it is.
And what is the reaction? What is the sign? Somebody, Shannon sent me the sign. What does the sign say? I have to pull this up on Twitter because I retweeted this out yesterday. But basically you say, here it is. I had Ray's Cafe is not, underlined, honoring the mask mandate and does not, underline, require staff to either. If you have a problem with our decision, stay home. That's the message, right?
True.
What would you say to folks that would say, well, look, you know, Amanda, you have a situation where this is a virus that's running out of control. It's irresponsible, especially for your staff, to not have to wear masks. How do you respond to that?
I would say it's freedom of choice. It's my business. It should be the customer's choice whether they come in or not. It's everyone's choice at this point. If you don't like it, go somewhere else.
Yeah. Have you heard from anyone in Jackson County or not?
Not yet.
Okay.
No.
Are you expecting to?
Of course, yes.
Yeah. Well, so is there something that they can enforce now because you made yourself a private club or not? That's, I guess, circling back to my previous question.
I'm not sure. I'm sure they'll come back with something, but I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to go away, and I'm just going to keep fighting.
Was this a situation? We've had a variety of mask mandates here in the St. Louis region, St. Louis County. In St. Louis City right now, we have one. In St. Louis County, we don't, but we could have one by the end of the day. But part of the problem has been just the confusion overall throughout this summer in particular after things took off in May where it appeared that everything was looking better. But as a business owner, why did you make this decision? Was it just the never-ending frustration of going back and forth, or are there other aspects here?
It's all aspects of it. It makes no sense to wear a mask 10 feet into a building, but once you sit down, you're safe. You're good. Take it off.
It makes no
sense. And then wear it back out the door.
Yeah. Well, so perfect example. This is so great. You know this. So I went to a restaurant with my mom and dad in Arlington Heights, Illinois, on Sunday. And a great little place called Egg Harbor. There's actually a little community in Door County, Wisconsin called Egg Harbor. So I think there's a little bit of a relation where the name is derived from there. So, yeah, it's a mask mandate. I had to walk in with my mask. As soon as I get to the table, I take my mask off. I never put it back on. Everyone else is at every other table with no mask on. It's all virtue signaling.
Yes, it's ridiculous. It makes no sense.
How
the mask doesn't do any good anyway. It doesn't stop anything, and it's a flu virus. I realize Corona is real. I'm not disputing that at all. I'm disputing my freedom of choice and my there's just, it's so much bigger than that at this point.
Well, you're frustrated as a business owner, right? Now, I don't think Race Cafe has 100 workers, but you know the president's about to put the smackdown on employers that have more than 100 workers and requiring them to be vaccinated. It wouldn't surprise me if counties and municipalities did this as well for smaller businesses.
And I hope not. And I feel the same way with the vaccine. It should be everyone's choice. Everyone needs to make that decision on their own based on their history, you know, their body. I don't know.
I just don't agree with any of it. Thank you for coming on here this afternoon and let us know how that turns out. You're taking a stand. Amanda Wallace, who's in Blue Springs with Ray's Cafe. Is the business are you getting people to come in these days and tipping well? Because I think a lot of people want to support these local businesses.
Yes. I thank everybody so much. It has been so much love and support. That is the only thing getting us through, getting me through. It's been amazing.
Well, thank you, Amanda. Good luck with everything, okay?
Yes, thank you so much.
All right, take care. 3:49. I want to play this because I thought this was interesting. And to Amanda's point, I think people do have different reasons for being vaccinated or not vaccinated. Look, there's plenty of research that's coming out right now that shows that people who had this, by the way, if you had COVID and you're vaccinated, you're like Superman right now. But even if you just had COVID, if you had the Delta variant in particular, that your natural immunity is relatively high. Now, I believe in the vaccine, and I think the vaccine is working, and it's reducing the amount of deaths and hospitalizations. That's my opinion. It's based on what I see with research. I know people have different opinions, and people are choosing to not take the vaccine for a variety of different reasons. I made this very clear last year when I was talking about this, way ahead of the vaccine being developed. This is when we thought it was going to be 2 years. Because I saw this coming. You're going to have anti-vaxxers that are maybe on the fringe, maybe not on the fringe, but there are certainly people that have been consistently against vaccines. Then you have people, and let me use the example of pregnant women, because I think pregnant women were justifiably very concerned because they had heard things about maybe what the vaccine would do. Now, here's what I'll tell you about pregnant women. There seems to be an indication that more pregnant women are dying from COVID. In some cases, their babies are surviving. So that may be the impetus for pregnant women to say, look, now we're seeing mothers die from this. But outside of that, CNN went down to rural Missouri and they talked to people who were vaxxed and unvaxxed, and they wanted to find out exactly what was going on down there. And I thought this was an interesting conversation because it was a guy that they talked to who lost his wife in July, and she was unvaccinated. And he's also still unvaccinated, but he told the reporter, this is not anyone you'd recognize. It's a producer for CNN who, Dave, do you remember where the city was? I can't remember the damn city's name here off the top of my head.
Off the top of my head, I can't either, no.
But didn't I send that to you? Did I email
it
to you?
Yes, you emailed it to me.
Let me check my email here because I want to make sure that I'm getting this.
I believe it was somewhere close to the Ozarks.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking here, but I want to make sure. The reporter is L. Reeve, Van Buren, Missouri. Van Buren, Missouri, which I'm really not particularly clear on. So she talks to this guy, Jim, who I don't think we have his last name. It doesn't really matter. But again, his wife dies. He's going to get now he's convinced that he's going to get the shot. But he says, I got this guy, this friend of mine, and he is not taking it. So his friend is Waylon Bland. And I think, look, I hang out, I get my redneck on. I know a lot of people like Waylon Bland, so this is not something that is jarring to me. And he has his reasons, but here's what he says.
Why do you not want the vaccine?
I ain't taking that. I ain't taking it. I don't like people trying to push a shot on me or something else because I'm this bullheaded, this fella you ever seen.
Last fall, COVID put Waylon in the hospital for 7 days.
I was on everything they had, steroids, full drip, plasma from people that had COVID, drug that they give my president, Trump, and they finally burned it out of me.
What's the difference, though, between the vaccine and the drugs that you did take, like Regeneron?
Well, yeah, I would have took anything. It wouldn't have mattered what it was.
Okay, now, that's a little confusing to me. I don't quite understand it. I think she sort of was poking around on that. In other words, you're not going to take the vaccine because you're worried in theory about what you're putting into your body, but you're going to take anything because you got COVID and you want to survive it. But he has, I think maybe he's not the only one, because he has a bit of a nuanced opinion and he's very honest about it, why he won't take the vaccine.
But why would you trust Regeneron and not the vaccine?
Am I going to have failure?
So he leans over to his friend. He goes, am I going to have to tell her? And he's a character. Waylon's a character. Am I going to have to tell her? Well, this is his theory here. And by the way, I don't think he's alone.
You know, the one thing is, they shafted my president. They would have had the vaccine, already had it, but they wouldn't give it to him because they knew damn good and well he'd be reelected. They got nothing nobody could do. So they had to swindle around and skin around and keep it from him just as soon as the election was over. Here, we got it. You shafted my president. I ain't taking your medicine. I'll take what they give him, but I'm not taking yours.
He took the vaccine, though.
Well, he might have. I don't know that.
I think they gave him the Regeneron.
They did give him that, but he did take the vaccine.
Later on, probably. Yeah, right. I'm not saying he didn't. I don't know that. Yeah, but that's what pissed me off, and I ain't taking it because I'm that bullheaded.
Okay, well, that's Waylon, and he's bullheaded, and he agrees. But here, Trump did take the vaccine, and this is interesting. This is a conversation with Trump and Greg Gutfeld from Fox, and Gutfeld's wife doesn't want to take the vaccine. Actually, here's what's interesting about this. This is the Trump that I love because it's the calm, charming Trump. Listen to him here.
You had COVID, and you met my wife, I don't know, it was like 6 years ago in Mar-a-Lago. She's still not gotten vaccinated, and I keep talking to her to get her to get vaccinated, and she hasn't. What would you say to her?
Well, first of all, I'd say, why is she not doing it? Does she have some kind of religious
thing? No, skeptical. She's skeptical, doesn't trust.
Well, she's Russian.
Yes, she's Russian.
That's the end of that.
Exactly.
That was a pretty good line there. I like that.
Can't argue with the Russian.
No. Very smart.
Yeah.
Very hard-headed.
Yes.
I think I know your wife a little bit, right?
Yes.
But she's great, and let her do what she wants to do. I got vaccinated, and I feel very good. I think we saved millions and millions of people worldwide. You know, in 1917, they say almost 100 million, approximately 100 million people died.
Yeah.
I think we could have been into that situation because it was very bad. And now, if you're vaccinated, the other thing it shows that if you do get sick, you don't get sick like they were before,
exactly.
Meaning you don't die.
Exactly.
So I would recommend, but I also say that let her have her freedoms. You know the word freedom, right?
Well, and that's kind of the position that I'm in, too. I recommend. I believe in it. I've taken the vaccine. I might take a booster. But he got booed for that, Dave. Remember a couple weeks ago?
Oh, yeah.
He
down in Alabama.
And he... Now, what Waylon was saying essentially was, and you remember, as soon as the election was over, I don't think Waylon thinks the election is over, but as soon as the election was over, you had Pfizer and Moderna basically announcing the success of the trials and everything. I can't remember all the details and the logistics that went down, but that's, you know, that's a perception that they did this. It was covert and secret.
The timing of it was not by accident.
Well, that's probably not.
That's what he was saying. Right.
Well, and I don't think
that's what he was saying.
But he's right about that. But was the timing not by accident because they were trying to pull one over on the American people?
Right.
I don't know. I mean, maybe that's what he's going to think. But it also is interesting, the psychology of all this. That's fine. That's in Waylon's mind. But the president pushed the vaccine. The president was mainly responsible for the speed of the vaccine being, you know, shot into people's arms around the planet. And he supports the vaccine, but that doesn't make any difference. The psychology of COVID is fascinating to me. It really is. President Biden coming up in a few minutes, we think.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.